Welcome to the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast here on the Backbreaker Media Network. And now, your host, Big Bad Boris.
Yes, everything you've heard is true. The Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast is back after a 2-week hiatus. My name is Big Bad Boris, and I did not come alone. No pun intended. I have brought along on the Zoom, on the interwebs, if you will, one of my favorite people in all of the planet Earth, Mr. What About Ivan. Ivan, how the hell are you?
I'm doing all right. I got to admit, I was kind of surprised that you invited me.
Why?
So now it's nothing against our relationship. I think we are fine friends.
Okay.
But just from the general idea of the whole punk and pile drivers thing, you know, I am involved and have been involved in wrestling for quite a few years, but I'm definitely not on your level of wrestling aficionado. And then on the other side of the house, the sort of like the musical side, I think you kind of understand that I don't have a wide variety of music. Like in my house, when I'm hanging out, I listen to Prince, and that's usually it.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but this thing's kind of evolved from what I thought it was going to be at the beginning to more of just a bullshit with friends and play whatever kind of music sort of thing. So the name is almost a bit of a misnomer, but not at the same time. But no, you fit in perfectly.
All right. I was just kind of, I saw the great guests that you've previously had on the show. And I just, my feelings would not have been hurt if I wasn't invited. Cause I just didn't presume that I belonged in that caliber of people.
Oh, all right. Well, first let me just explain the 2-week hiatus. Before we get down to business, the week before last, I was to have a very, very special guest, and that guest kind of pushed it back a little bit. So I'm hoping we can still get this done sometime in the near future. I don't want to say who it is in case it doesn't get done, but so that was the reason why that didn't happen that week, because it was too late for me to get somebody else, and I didn't really want to do one by myself. And then last week was inventory week at work, so there was extra hours, and I was tired, and I just said, kind of, F it. But we are back. And what about Ivan? The first thing I want to talk about is this is not our first podcast go-around now, is it?
No, that's true. We do like to hang out and just sort of BS, and a lot of stuff flows naturally. And as long as you're the one pressing the buttons and doing the mix, it's good times.
Back in the day, we had a podcast entitled The Big Bad Boar Show featuring What About Ivan? And we did maybe like 10 episodes over a span of like 3 years. But those were a lot of fun.
Yeah, they were good. You know, and I myself am not a podcast person. It really boggles my mind that there's so many podcasts and there's so many new ones coming out. And because to me, like, a podcast seems like something where maybe two people could do it and that would be it. But it's such a phenomenon that everyone does it and everyone finds their own audience, which is really cool. But for me personally, when I look at it, I just don't get it.
Well, I think what it's become is it's become super, super easy to do one now and to do one that sounds fairly decent. And everybody's into something. Everybody has a passion, you know, be it some sort of entertainment or sports or politics or science or what have you. So everybody likes to talk about something. So I kind of think that's where it came from. And for me, you know, my love of, and my want of being on the radio and that kind of thing is kind of where it sprung from. So I took that and my love of music and my love of wrestling and kind of parlay-vooed it, if that's the proper word, into what you see before you. Now let's talk about you, because okay. You are, and I'm not blowing smoke up your backside, up your skirt, if you will. I believe one of the top independent wrestling ring announcers that is going today.
Oh, thank you very much.
And
I appreciate that.
And I was thinking about this as I was driving home from the gym today. I was thinking about, you've been with PWA for many, many years, and you do more than ring announce. It's more of a host. It's more of like a it's a warm feeling when you're there. Like everything is right. There's been a few shows over the years that you haven't been able to make for various reasons. And when you're not there, it's very much has a bit of a different vibe. Do you consider yourself like more than just a ring announcer, but almost like a host or a greeter, a part of the family, so to speak?
Yeah. And I think that definitely comes down to the whole live environment. I've been involved in some taped events, not just wrestling, but I find that when you're in front of a live audience, you give them that little bit of extra attention in a way. Whereas if it is sort of a recorded to be put out later type of thing, mm-hmm. you don't get to play with them that way. You don't get to interact. You know, they're there to see other parts of the show, but obviously it's going to be cut and edited. And there's a lot of stuff that can be toned down when something's recorded. But when you're in front of a live audience and they're there, they've paid their money, they want to be entertained, you have to give them that little bit of extra. You know, if you're just coming into the ring and all you're doing is just saying the names, you know, you could be great. You could have like the Michael Buffer voice and be very professional. But seeing that live, you know, you're not quite getting as much for your money, right?
And I think that you walk, pardon me. I was having water. I think you walk that perfect line of putting just enough of like your personality and your little bit of nuances into things, but not going too far to where it's distracting from the product. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one thing I always talk about with people when they ask me about announcing is it's a challenging role because you have to be the center of attention without being the center of attention. And I've seen announcers go to either extreme where they are so far away from the product that why are you even there kind of thing. And then I've seen people who get so involved in essentially trying to put themselves over that they're somehow like a big deal, which I'm not saying no one, you know, everyone's important. But I've seen people go to that far extreme where it becomes about them, and that takes away from the show as well. I mean, you are there, and I mean, in wrestling, I'm in and out of the ring more than anyone else during the show, mm-hmm. other than maybe the referees.
Yeah.
And so it's important that I keep stuff going and I keep up that energy, but the show's not about me. And that's sort of, you reach this Zen-like status when you do ring announcing well, where you understand that you're everything and nothing all at once.
Ooh, that's very deep. You're everything and nothing all at once. So how, like, we all have our kind of roles to play, and I think you play yours very well. How did you get involved in the PWA? Because I don't actually, like, we've known each other a very, very long time, and we've spent a lot of time earlier, hung out quite a bit, and we've been up and down the roads and all that stuff. Cool. But I don't know how you got involved, because I believe you are the fifth in line of ring announcers in PWA, and I'm sure somebody who's much more of a historian can correct me, but as far as I know, Kurt was the first one. Kurt Sorokin, owner, proprietor, promoter of PWA, was the first one. Then Mike McGuire, then me, then Drew Dalby, and then you. So how did you end up in this this land of nonsense?
So basically this started because of RCW, actually.
Oh. A lot of things have started because of RCW. No, I'm just kidding. I have friends that work over there. It's all good. I kid.
I kid. Great. You know, there's great places all over. I happened to be at an RCW show and I was watching. And even though, you know, I'm not the wrestling aficionado you are, and even though, I mean, going to live shows was just kind of a fun thing to do on the weekend. They had an announcer and he was honestly so bad at what he was doing. He was taking away from the show. And I just remember sort of being like,
Do you know, Lord. Do you know who it was? And I'm not asking for a name. You can tell me afterwards.
Yeah, I don't want to like put anyone down or anything, because who knows? Like, it could have been an off night or something, right?
Okay.
But regardless, so just from hearing that, I was kind of like, man, like, I could do a better job than this guy. And it just happened that someone was sitting nearby who was involved in wrestling, and they said, well, why don't you? Like, essentially, why don't you go and talk to the promoter?
They pulled your punk card.
Yeah. And so I kind of thought, you know what? Like, I kind of come to these shows every so often. Why not try and be an announcer, right? So basically that's what happened. Was I was signed on to start with RCW. And then in PWA, when they were swapping out their announcer, they didn't have someone to replace. It was Drew, I believe, who was leaving at that time.
Yes.
I could... But when Drew was leaving that position, they didn't have anyone to fill that role. And so the night of the show, I got a phone call asking me if I was going to be coming to the show that night. I said, I honestly said, I don't think so. Like, I'm,
fucking like wrestling I'm, bullshit, right?
Bullshit.
Who was the call from?
The call was from Marky, actually. Okay. Mark King.
Was the call coming from inside the house?
It might have been. And so he said, well, bring a suit and some note cards because you're going to announce.
Oh, damn.
So the way I understand it was just they were sort of in a rush to find someone to fill in as an announcer. Someone was like, hey, Ivan's going to be doing RCW. Why don't we see if he wants to do this as well, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, I was supposed to start at RCW first, but my first actual live event was PWA.
What venue was it?
That was Nate.
It was Nate?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess you did, Nate. Was I on that show? Was I there? Do you remember?
You were around for some of that. Oh, yeah. Actually, I believe you were with Tex during that time.
Oh, okay. And how did you do? Were you pleased with your performance that night?
Not particularly. I mean, no one really told me what to do. I went out there like with no idea. And right off the get-go, it started rough because there was no music.
No, and there don't was tell me there were technical difficulties at a PWA show. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, and so there was no music, and they told me to wait for the music. And now again, like...
Oh, and then you're standing there looking like a shithead.
Yeah, and so I'm standing there, and because, again, like, this wasn't my world, like, years ago, right? So I'm sure a lot of people in that situation who've, like, hung around more, they would have known what to do, and I just kind of stood there because they told me to wait until music. And then I think it was Chris Steele, actually, was there, and he said, just go.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. Like, so I walked out, no music, and... I did okay, but, you know, end of the night, I kind of looked at it like, okay, that was cool, like, something I can say I did, and I'm never going to do this again, kind of thing.
Oh, little do you know.
Yeah, little did I know that after I did it, I would say probably two more times, I sort of learned how stuff ran. And then a few more times after that, I started figuring out how I could improve on stuff and make stuff my own. And then I became the phenom that you are talking to right now.
How long have you been PWA? How long have you been with PWA? It's been over a decade now, right? It's got to be. Over 10 years?
Yeah, this year is 15 years.
15 years. See, I remember my very first ring announcing gig was actually for Monster Pro Wrestling. I did two shows for them, and I was just terrified just because I didn't know any of the guys. So I was like, please send the guys out in the order that they're, you know, I have them written, because if not, I'm going to look like a giant shithead. And I remember everything went okay. The thing that sticks out the most for me is there was a young, shaggy, blonde-haired kid named Kenny Omega who worked one of those shows, and I always think it's kind of cool that I got to ring announce for him back when he was a fresh-faced youngster. You've had a lot of antics backstage and stuff, and the one story that sticks out to me, and I don't know why, I think of this often all the time, was when Bubba Ray Dudley in the basement of Nate asked if you were bisexual. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do actually.
Do you have any idea or any inkling as to why Bubba Ray Dudley would think that you were bisexual?
No. And it was really odd because had it have been any of like the local guys or, you know, if I was more comfortable around some of the workers, I think that interaction would have gone a bit differently.
Yeah.
But just coming from him and like, I still wasn't quite sure about like dealing with some of like the bigger name guys.
Yeah.
That when he asked me, I just sort of froze because I'm like, I don't get this. Is he like asking me for a date?
Oh boy. Have you ever, continue.
Yeah. So it was just kind of like that. Like I didn't have any idea why he asked me, and the way it came about was very awkward. So yeah, there was really nothing to it. I think it would have gone a lot differently had I been more comfortable around mm-hmm. the people kind of thing. But it's one of those things that's just up there.
I always think back to that. It always makes me laugh. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but in your 15 years, you've never really been involved in any kind of angle or storyline, have you? Correct me if I'm wrong.
So there was maybe two moments. And that was like so minute, you know, and I think a lot of that goes to just the fact that, and people have asked me before, like, oh, why don't you become a wrestler? Why don't you, you know, and for me, my answer is always, yeah, I could become a wrestler and be like a shitty wrestler that no one gives a fuck about.
Become a wrestler and be a shitty wrestler.
Or I could keep, you know, doing my art essentially, and your still
vocal
keep
origami,
my vocal origami, and still be this respected announcer. And that's kind of where it's always been. I think if the plan at some point was to become a wrestler, then maybe I would have pushed to do more stories or interactions with the guys. But yeah, I mean, I've always enjoyed what I do, and I think I do it well. So that's kind of the idea, you know. Do you want to be really good at something that maybe isn't as exciting, or do you want to be kind of shitty at something that maybe is more exciting?
There you go. Any memories stick out? Anything that like any specific match that you ring announced for, or anything kind of stick out? I know we've had a lot of good times on the road in the A car and in restaurants and bars and hotels. I know you took a bath in the neon light bathtub. Yeah. Anything that sticks out? That's just a weird sentence that no one's going to understand. But any kind of memories that stick out that make you think back and smile?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. It always kind of feels good to, when you see the people that you've ring announced for in the past, and now they've moved on and grown and done bigger things. Mm-hmm. I mean, overall, that's always kind of cool, right? To look back at those. You know, as far as moments, again, I mean, I haven't been involved in a lot of stuff. One thing I thought was really, really brilliant, and it kind of ties into your last question about me being involved in anything. There was a time when Drew Dalby was sort of starting to wrestle a little bit, mm-hmm. and he was asking people, or not asking people, but essentially like picking his opponents, you know, because mm-hmm. he's a jerk. And there was this moment where, and Dolby and I have always chirped at each other, like in front of the crowd, like the crowd knows we're not big fans of each other. And I just remember this one time, it was at Nate. It was like a packed auditorium, lots of people, good energy. And he was walking around the ring and he's like, I'm going to find my opponent. And he's just walking past the crowd and he's making fun of everyone as he goes. Like he's calling them fat or too ugly or whatever. And then he stops near the announce table and he looks at me and he says, I think I found my opponent. And so the crowd starts like getting hyped up for this. Mm-hmm. And so Kurt was nearby. And like, as I said, people kind of knew that Dolby and I didn't get along. And so I was like, Kurt, you know, just let me do this. And so Kurt kind of gave the nod. And so, you know, getting the jacket off, like I'm ready to rumble here, right? Like, and the crowd's like biting into this. This is, they're going to see Dolby and me just go at it. And so I kind of like put my chin forward. I'm going to give him the first shot. I close my eyes. And then what he does is he punches over me and grabs one of the random security guards next to me.
Okay.
And throws the kid in the ring.
I think I remember that actually.
And like, it was just such a moment that the crowd was so hyped up. And then when he did that, they hated it so much. And I just remember thinking like, man, that was such a good moment.
Should have fought him.
Match, I would have
match killed of the year.
I mean, possibly, but, you know, again, I'm not trained and I don't want to be one of those people who just like, without doing anything, decides I'm going to go in the ring because there's enough of those people around as well.
So like me, basically?
No, because I mean,
I know.
Like you've done stuff and you've been around enough of the guys and the training. And I've seen you before shows as well, rolling around inside. Like you've done stuff. I would step in that ring. I'd have no idea what I'm doing. Like,
and there's always a risk factor involved with that too. So.
Yeah, exactly. And on both people's sides,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Like obviously I wouldn't be a safe worker.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I wouldn't know how to protect myself as well. So
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We're gonna whip off to your first track now. We're gonna go with The Night Begins to Shine. Now tell me about this song, what it's all about, and why you picked it. Because you picked some weird shit. Not weird, some off the beaten path, like Sonic the Hedgehog. Explain what's going on here.
So basically what happened was legitimately when you first asked me for two songs, I immediately started typing two different Prince songs.
Because you're all about Prince. Thought,
yeah, absolutely. Like he's amazing. But then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that because that's just, I felt like you would just expect that from me. So The Night Begins to Shine is essentially the greatest song of all time.
Okay.
The story behind it is really interesting. So, you know how in movies and TV shows, they sort of have the fake, rock and roll or fake music sometimes that's not an actual band?
Yes.
So that's what this started out as. So there was this band called B.E.R. and all they did was write generic music for Warner Brothers.
Okay.
So when these guys, not B.E.R., but the people making a show, were going through Warner Brothers soundtracks that were just available for them to use, they heard this song and they were like, holy crap, this is the greatest song of all time. Why is this just sitting in a vault at Warner Brothers? So they used it on their show, and then eventually Warner Brothers was like, oh shit, we actually have a hit, and they released it on like iTunes and all this other stuff. And there's like some kind of funny stories about it where the original writers of the song, because like they just kind of did it for the money and they went on to do, you know, regular jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden they're getting like rock star notice, and they're being invited to conventions and like different stuff to perform, And they end up writing another song afterwards because it got so much traction.
So how long ago was this?
It was a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years.
Fairly recently then.
Fairly recently, yeah. And so it's quite interesting. They used it on the show was called Teen Titans Go.
You love that shit. You talk about that shit all the time.
I do. It's so good. And because of that song, it actually got a spinoff just due to that song on its own. Because when the characters listen to that song, they get so hyped up, they go to an alternate 80s universe.
Oh, really?
And they made a spinoff that hasn't been released yet, but they're working on it. And it's all based on that song.
Interesting. That's cool. So the track is called... Oh, what do we got here? The Night Begins to Shine. The artist is B.E.R.
That's great.
All right. This is the number one pick of World Alive and here on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast. I saw you dance from the corner. The Night Begins to Shine on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast on the Backbreaker Media Network. My name is Big Bad Boris, joined by What About Ivan? And Ivan, professional wrestling is not the only thing that you have announced, correct?
That's true. I mean, I started in professional wrestling, but I went on to numerous other things.
You've done some roller derby. You've done some mixed martial arts. Talk to me about how your professional wrestling announcer skills kind of transcended to these other forms of entertainment.
So for some of them, it transfers rather smoothly. Like MMA is very close to professional wrestling, not in, you know, not comparing what the people do, but as far as the general setup, I mean, you have
the presentation,
start of the show, you have someone entering the cage, you have second person entering the cage, as opposed to someone entering the ring, someone else entering the ring, and then you have winners, and then you have post-fight interviews. So overall, it's very similar. But then when you get to something like roller derby, that is a completely different thing. You're still hyped, you're still talking to the crowd, but whereas wrestling, you do an introduction and you do the winner announcement and maybe do some interviews. With roller derby, you never stop talking.
You, like, you almost commentate the whole thing, right?
That's true, yeah. So as soon as that whistle blows, you're going, and it's high energy. You're keeping it going so that the fans stay pumped. Because, I mean, there's times where the action can slow down, but you want to keep that level still up with the crowd and the audience still going.
Now, roller derby was fairly big around here. I remember it being really popular a number of years ago. Is it still going on?
It's still going on. I mean, unfortunately, of course, we're living through the COVID pandemic, which has slowed down a lot of that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's still going on. I haven't been involved in it for a couple years. I used to fill in off and on in St. Albert when they needed a hand with announcing, mm-hmm. but I haven't done anything recently. And other than I still try and stay up to date on what's going on. So I know that there's a lot of people who are excited to get back to it, but unfortunately, you know, you got to stay safe.
Now, is roller derby a work? Because
I've
never understood, like, I've often wondered that. And I have, I'll be honest, I haven't watched a lot of it, so I don't really, you know, I can't really speak from experience. But so this is full shoot. You're shooting with me right now.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting because it used to be, you know, this scripted sports entertainment, essentially. And it's kind of interesting because throughout my time, I have run into people who used to be on, like, what was it, like TNN or TNT?
Well, whatever roller, used to roller Jam or Roller Games or whatever the fuck that was called.
Yeah, okay. So I've run into some of those, like, Roller Jam guys. And, you know, a lot of them now really fight hard to make this a legitimate sport again.
Okay.
And so it's interesting talking to them because I know I've spoken with one guy. I was like, oh, man, I saw when you kidnapped that girl and put her in a helicopter. And he's like, dude, and because, like, legitimately, at one point, roller derby was that level of sports entertainment. And he legitimately, like, they had a helicopter land down and, like, but that was before. And now it's going away from that idea. There's still people who assume that it's sort of that sports entertainment, the scripted, but no, it is just a pure sport now. Any of the entertainment value that comes from just like any other sport.
From the competition.
Just from the, and from the competition of it, yes.
Now, I if I ever decide to become a roller derby girl, I have two names I've picked out. All right, are you ready to hear these?
All right.
And then I want you to tell me what your favorite names are. But my two names are Sharon Needles. All right, that's pretty good, right?
It's, you know, possibly offensive, but all right.
Well, I mean, come on. And my other name was Anaphylaxis.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's pretty good. Yeah. What are some of your favorite names you've heard over the years?
You know, there's a lot of good ones out there, and I always appreciate the times when they work their own name into their roller derby name.
Okay.
It just kind of adds that little bit of extra. You know, off the top of my head, I can't think of a really good female roller derby name that I enjoyed. One roller derby guy name that I always thought was funny, and it's not even like all that much to it, is Brad Example.
Oh, that's pretty good. That sounds like a bad indie wrestling name too. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is a lot of the names could probably show up at indie wrestling shows.
Yeah, true. What pays more, pro wrestling, roller derby, or MMA?
MMA.
I was pretty sure, and it's probably not even close too, right?
Yeah, no, like MMA is, you know, they've got sponsors, they have all kinds of different competitions that are coming in, they have different groups that are involved, they're selling VIP packages with table service at ringside.
You went out of town for a show a couple of times and got put up in a hotel and stuff, did you not?
Yeah, I went out quite a few times throughout BC and up to Yellowknife as well. And those were awesome trips, and great people. Like, everyone, it's always kind of interesting to me, because you have these people who essentially are there to compete against each other, but there is that sort of family dynamic, mm-hmm. where everyone is part of that event, yeah. and they're part of the world of mixed martial arts. And even if they're not, you know, when that bell rings, obviously they're competing and their coaches are hating the other guy and all of that. But at the end of the night, you know, it's a lot of camaraderie is what I saw. And I always thought that was really interesting, because I always assumed with sports, there would be more legitimate hatred at the end of the night.
Yeah. Interesting. What is the most unique event you've ever announced for? And I think I know what it is. And I think I was there.
I was going to ask if this was one you were at. Yeah, I think the pillow fighting
event. Yes, because you gave me the call and you were like, hey, Boris, I'm announcing for pillow fighting. Do you want to come down and announce with me? And I was like, fuck yeah. And that was a fun night.
Yeah, and you know, when I first started doing that, I didn't understand what it was. I just kind of thought, okay, they're going to swing pillows. But the whole idea behind it is you can do almost anything as long as that pillow is between you and your opponent. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can sweep the leg with a pillow and wrap them up in like a Boston crab as long as you're not actually physically touching your opponent.
It was quite the night.
And yeah, like, I've done a lot of cool events. You know, I announced roller derby in Hawaii. That was another unique one. And that one was a lot of fun, 'cause as you know, I wear the black suits, and it was an outdoor arena. Everyone there was in tank tops and shorts. And I was like, no, you know what? Like, they wanted me here. I'm going to give them like full me. So no tank top, no shorts, like full black suit when it's sweltering heat and people are like dying in the stands. And so up until the point I had to go out, I was basically hugging this little AC unit backstage, like trying to essentially freeze my suit as much as I could. And so like music hits, I walk out, dramatic center of the arena. And it was like quiet for like 3-4 seconds, because you could tell these people were like, what is this guy doing? And then all of a sudden, like, just uproar. They love it. And, you know, spent the whole rest of the event in my suit and doing it. And anytime there was a break, I was running backstage to hug that same AC unit. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it was cool to be involved in that kind of stuff as well. Well,
that's a cool story. Now, we're going to shift to music for a second. We're going to get to your second track. But first, I want to talk about today is, and this is real, apparently, it's National Odd Music Day, or National Weird Music Day. Now, we have traveled up and down the roads, as I mentioned, for many, many years. And you have played your fair share of music that I would consider kind of off the beaten path. You introduced me to MC Chris and Richard Cheese and stuff like that. Where do you like come up with a lot of this just kind of off the wall stuff?
So, and I think it's maybe because I'm not as big into music as I am into movies. And a lot of times I find stuff out because of a soundtrack.
Okay.
Or because someone was involved in something else. So it's not necessarily that I'm learning about them through music channels, but I hear about them from other places. And sometimes I honestly couldn't tell you where I originally heard them from. They just seem to appear on my Microsoft Zune. And
do you still have that Zune?
I do. You know, with COVID, I've been locking down in my house, so I haven't been taking public transit, which means I don't need to listen to my headphones anymore, so I haven't been using it. But absolutely, the Zune is near the front door and ready to rumble.
Still kicking, eh? That was tremendous. Okay, we're going to go to your second track. Your second track is by a group called the Poppy Family, and the track is called Where Evil Grows. Now, tell me about this. I saw Sonic the Hedgehog. Please explain.
So, this is a Canadian band that were around decades ago. Now, not to date myself or nothing, but
I would date
you. I actually had listened to the Poppy Family on an 8-track in the basement when I was playing my old Sega and, video games.
Nice.
So basically that was it. And I forgot about them. Like, you know, it was enjoyable, whatever, background music. Didn't think about it forever. And then all of a sudden, Sonic the Hedgehog comes out. Now, have you seen the movie?
I have not.
Okay. So, I guess spoiler alert, but not really, because it's been out for a while. But anyways, there's this scene where Jim Carrey is playing the bad guy. And I read the story about this, and it sounds reasonable to me, is that there was a part in the script where the bad guy had to do sort of like a sexy slash silly dance. And so they were trying to figure out music, and Jim Carrey was like, hey, I used to listen to this band in Canada, and I think this song would work really well. And so that song ended up in that scene. So there's a scene in Sonic the Hedgehog where Jim Carrey is doing like this weird hip thrusting dance to this song. And so when I saw the Sonic the Hedgehog movie and I saw that scene, instantly it was like that nostalgia hit.
Okay.
And I was like, oh man, I remember like playing video games and having the 8-track going with that in the background. And because of that, I actually looked up the Poppy Family's album, which like you can still find online. Like they're not a huge group or anything, but you know, you can still find stuff. And so I started listening to some of their other songs again. And so that's kind of why I chose it, because it's still in my head. I still enjoy it every so often when it comes up on a shuffle if I'm listening. And that's why I picked it.
Awesome. That's cool. All right. So this is the Poppy Family. The track is Where Evil Grows, as featured in Sonic the Hedgehog on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast.
I like the way you smile at me. I felt the heat that enveloped me. And what I saw, I like to see. I never knew where evil grew. I should have steered away from you. Friend told me to keep clear of you, but something drew me near to you. I never knew where evil grew. Evil grows in the dark, where the sun it never shines. Minds. Evil grew, it's part of you. place where evil grows. Evil grows in the dark, where the sun it never shines. Evil grows in cracks and holes and lives in people's minds. Evil grew, it's part of you, and now it seems to be that every time I look at you, evil grows in me.
That is the Poppy Family on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast. My name is Big Bad Boris, joined by the incomparable and damn handsome What About Ivan. Now let's get to your jam, your real passion, which of course is films, is movies. Before the pandemic, you were at like a screening of a new movie like twice a week. I've seen your home theater set up. I've seen your hard drives crammed with dozens and dozens and hundreds of movies. What is the worst movie you've ever seen, and why is it Yoga Hosers?
I appreciate that you knew that before I even answered it. Yeah, well, absolutely.
We tried, because you ended up watching the whole, because you and I tried to watch that movie and we shut it off halfway through. But you ended up, right. I believe it was you and Alistair Dark sat through the whole thing, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Myself and Alistair Dark did, and about 40 minutes into it, I had another friend who showed up at my place, and they asked, like, oh, what have I missed? And our answer was literally nothing.
Fuck all, nothing. Yeah. What do we think of... Sorry.
So it's just a really bad movie, and it just felt a lot like he was forcing you to watch a home movie of his daughter's like recital.
Oh, except, you know, instead of it being a good way to put it.
Like, and instead of it being, you know, a friend where you're like, okay, I can sit through this for a little bit. Like, this was a, you know, it had a budget, it had other people working on it. Like, it should have been a real movie, essentially. and that's my big complaint about it, other than and how crappy it is. That's what really pushed it over the top, was that, because I've seen a lot of really bad movies, but that's what really pushed it over the top, was just the idea that it just felt like, you know, it was Kevin Smith saying, oh, look at how great my daughter is. Look at. And it's not.
Are we holding out any hope for Clerks 3 being good? Because Jane Silent Bob reboot, I mean, heavy on fan service. You know, I guess for that reason it was fun, but it wasn't great either. I loved Clerks too, though.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing with Kevin Smith, is when you look at a guy like Quentin Tarantino, like, phenomenal director, and he takes stories and he always has more. Whereas with Kevin Smith, it feels like he sort of had that original idea that he needed to get out, and his original stuff was good. But then he doesn't have anything beyond his original idea.
I mean, I haven't seen Red State. Jersey Girl, I enjoyed. I know a lot of people really shit on Jersey Girl, but Jersey Girl, I enjoyed. Zach and Miri Make a Porno, I enjoyed, but it was also kind of in that same kind of vein. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think of this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to watch it. But again, I really don't have a lot of expectations going in. And maybe that'll make it better for me.
True. Honestly, under promise and over deliver.
If I'm going in expecting trash, if it's just like, you know, if it's a used tea bag as opposed to a filled diaper, you know, I might be pleased with that.
Is that the What About Ivan scale of film used tea bag to full diaper?
Sure.
What is a movie that everybody loves that you think is a full diaper, so to speak?
Oh,
I've got one.
So that's really tough, because honestly, a lot of times my ranking system is like, something's amazing, you have to watch it right away. Something's good, but it's artsy, which means like it is really good, but not like the general public probably won't mm-hmm. like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's stuff that I consider a popcorn movie, which is like, it's not necessarily going like, to win any awards.
Like Dude Bro Party Massacre 2?
Yeah, like it's something where,
so
like,
good.
You know, have some friends over, pop some popcorn, you know, spend your 2 hours and it'll be something. Like, honestly, that's usually where movies end up. It's really rare. And I remember when I was speaking with someone and they were really used to me either saying like, you know, watch this right now, or it's a popcorn flick, watch it when you have time. That when I actually talked about Yoga Hosers and said that it was trash, they were actually taken aback because they'd never heard me say any movie was bad.
Yeah, you usually really don't shit on much, so.
No, I don't. And
you respect so, the medium.
I do. And because a lot of times, even if it's a cheaply made movie, like sort of the B movie stuff, it still comes through that the idea of what they wanted to do, or like their heart is still in it, right? Like they might not have the money for the huge special effects or the big actors, but you can still feel what they wanted to do. And you kind of respect that in a way.
Did you make a movie about a plastic bag? You did.
I didn't make it.
Did you participate in the making of a film about a plastic bag?
Yes, I was one of the co-stars in it.
It moved me.
It moved you.
It made me feel things that I wasn't ready to feel.
That I believe was the director's idea when he first set out to make that film.
You were also in a backyard wrestling film, were you not?
I've done a few different things. Yeah.
We've watched that backyard wrestling film on more than one occasion too.
Yeah. I've done a few things in my past.
And then there was that movie that you said hello in. Tell me about that. You were like, Boris, you got to come over and film me saying hello. It's for a movie. And I did it. And then I never heard anything about it. Did that movie get made?
Because I've never seen it actually.
Is it a thing though?
It is a thing. Yeah. But no, I've never actually watched it.
Are you in it?
I'm supposed to be.
Well, why the fuck haven't you watched it then?
Because I don't know where to watch it, because it was like some sort of art film. So once it kind of went out of the like the little tour that a lot of art films do, then it was gone. So
okay, well. That's I want credit as a cameraman on that.
Okay, well I'm looking it up right now. So this was out in 2018, and it's got an IMDb rating of 6.7 out of 10.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what's it called?
It is called Hello, Au Revoir.
Sounds artsy.
Yeah. And yeah, it was 1,500 people from around the world who took part in it.
And you're one of them.
And I was one of them.
Okay, yes. Well, I got to find that shit. We got to watch it. Okay, so yeah, what's going on?
Find it, absolutely. I would love to watch it. But like I said, I haven't seen anything about it once it was done its sort of art tour.
All right, well, I'll get to my considerable resources around the globe. So what's going on in the theaters these days that's caught your eye? I know the theaters is not really necessarily a thing, but there's been a handful of movies that have come out over the past maybe year or so. What's been on your screen that you've enjoyed?
So yeah, with COVID, kind of like you mentioned, I used to do a lot of these screenings. They were doing kind of a neat thing, but also not, where they were doing screenings at your house. So you still got to watch the movie before it came out, but on your screen, they would pop up with a unique watermark.
Oh, so you could bootleg or whatever?
Yeah, so if you did actually record it and upload it, they could see, okay, so it was U015 blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's this guy.
Here come the cops.
Yeah, and so I watched a few movies that way. Like I watched, was it Sound of Metal? Which
is that any good?
The movie itself,
because I saw like, a trailer for that, and I was like, "Oh, that looks good."
Like honestly, the sound editing on it is really what pushes it over the edge. Like if you took away a lot of the stuff they do with sound in there, I could see it being more of like a B movie that a lot of people wouldn't talk about. But going into that movie, it honestly feels like you're living this life of this person who's losing their hearing.
Yeah, so it was, check that out.
It was really cool. And yeah, screenings are back in theaters now.
Because you've been to a couple now already, haven't you?
Yeah, so I went to go see Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe.
Thumbs up, thumbs down?
That one was very much... It just felt like they were just trying to get to the next fight scene. And just trying to like barely tape it together. So it was like you'd have like a cool fight scene and then we'll make up something and quickly get to the next fight scene.
Ah, okay.
And with that one, honestly, I think it depends on what the target audience was, because I don't know if it was meant for sort of the age of kids who are now maybe getting G.I. Joe toys. Then I could see that being reasonable. Like, you know, it's kind of like quick action, not necessarily a deep story, you know, that's okay. But if you're trying to go for like a more mature audience, it kind of misses out a bit.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Give me one more.
So what else did I see recently? Why am I blanking on this? Oh, this feels bad.
Pressure's on.
Oh man. So yeah, so I did watch the Suicide Squad, I should say. That one I enjoyed. It felt like a B movie, but it felt like a B movie that had money, which okay. I know is weird because that's usually not the way it happens.
Yeah.
But it's like it felt fun. You know, end of the day, like it wasn't anything really great, but it was also a lot of fun to it. And I know some people liked it, some people didn't. But overall, it was a good time.
All right. Now, before we conclude this, we can't go on this episode, this podcast, without telling the tale of Craig Sorokin. Now,
This is your story.
I've never seen you happier than this moment. So you a few years ago, many years ago, pardon me, around the holiday season, you worked for this company where you would host a game show at like a corporate Christmas party type thing. Correct? Fill me in if I've got that wrong.
Yeah, I've done a few of those, and I've done them for some different people as well. But yeah, basically it's kind of essentially like hosting a karaoke night, except instead of doing karaoke, the people play games. Yeah. And so there's different groups that do this and provide it. So yeah, essentially just like karaoke. But it's surrounded by games.
So for a couple of these things, you needed a button pusher slash minor co-host, correct?
Right. It makes it a lot easier. Like I've done them on my own, but just having someone there to make sure everything's running smoothly, because if something sort of craps out, you can rely on that person to do it while you kind of talk up the crowd a bit, mm-hmm. or you can just BS with that person as well, just to make stuff a bit more fun.
So I did this for you a couple of times, and one time in particular, there was a gentleman who was the boss of this company, correct?
Yeah.
And his name was Craig. And Craig came down to the venue to help set up, and his mannerisms and the way he spoke and the way he dealt with people very much reminded me of Kurt Sorokin from the PWA, and I found it quite funny. This is not a knock to Kurt at all, of course. It was just very, very similar And it was like the world had gifted us another Sorokin. And when I made the comparison,
you thought there was some weird twins or something. Yes. Like maybe they had some brothers they didn't know about.
And when I coined, I remember we went for, like, once everything was set up, we had some time to kill. This was in Red Deer, I believe. We went to the mall and we had a discussion and we invented like a backstory for Craig Sorokin. And I've honestly never seen you happier than the night of Craig Sorokin.
I mean,
the anytime story, it's not as fun as a story if you weren't there, I guess. I thought the story would be a lot more fun. And I think it is for you and me, but I don't think it is for anyone else.
Yeah, no, I think this is definitely one of those if you live through it.
Yeah.
Because, we did spend a lot of time just kind of BSing and making stuff up as we go. And, I mean, that's basically what we do anyways.
Yeah, pretty much. Those were, pardon me, those were fun little game show things. And there was a couple of ladies that I think were pretty fancy on a What About Ivan. Especially once the vino started flowing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, where are they now, right?
you ever hook up at one of these things?
No. I always was with someone when I was doing them, so I never did, because I'm not that kind of person. But there was definitely a lot of times where that opportunity did arise. I just didn't follow through on it.
Well, you're a man of principle.
I have, for the first time ever, tried a dating app.
Which one?
Bumble.
Ooh, Bumble. And how's that going?
It's... it's something. I don't know. I haven't been on it for too long. So I did go on one date.
Did you get lucky?
And that was really good. Did you get lucky? You know, we... it's gentlemen don't tell stories.
Okay. Anyway.
But anyways, like, end of the day, you know, it was good, but... just due to distance of where we lived, like, she wasn't too keen on that because we weren't exactly close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of just did that one date and just kind of called it off from there. And I haven't gone on another one since. So we'll have to see, I guess. I don't know.
So what you're telling me...
There's a lot of them out there and there's always people who are like, oh, you need to do this one or need to do that one. And it feels like a lot of work to do all that stuff.
So but, what you're telling me is What About Ivan is open for business.
it's been a while, and I just kind of decided, like, I had some friends who were telling me, oh, you need to sign up. You need to, and they were telling me that for a little bit, but just like last month, I decided, you know what, I am going to try it and not put too much hope into it. But if something happens, something happens.
Yeah, just have fun with it. It can be fun just, you know, chatting with people, and who knows what's going to happen, right?
Exactly.
All right. What about Ivan? Is there anything else that you want to add? Anything else you want the world to know? Anything else you want to share with my vast audience of tens of people?
I mean, obviously, if they're looking for a great announcer and or host, they can book me, and I will bring my vocal origami.
How would one get a hold of you to book you?
Through any of the social medias that are out there, you know, just search for What About Ivan, all one word, and you'll be able to find me. And that's about it. I mean, it's been a little slow lately, and I assume it's that way for a lot of people. You know, I've been working on myself. You know, I've been drinking more water, you know.
How do you feel about Pabst Blue Ribbon?
I don't mind it. It is John Cena's favorite beer.
trying to get them to sponsor.
Ah.
It's not going well. Well,
tell them that you watch shows with John Cena.
That's true. There's something else I want to know. Oh, yeah. How's work going? I know you're not allowed to talk about it because you're like a secret agent.
No, I'm not anymore, actually.
You're not a secret agent anymore?
No. I turned in the badge.
Why?
Because during the pandemic, there's a group that basically out of this group, there's always one officer in it. And that officer left, so they had to fill it in. I was the choice to just temporarily go in. And then they ended up offering me a full-time position, which means I am behind a desk. I have no badge, but I am making more money. And I possibly will get further along in my career.
So you're not a secret agent, but you've moved up the ranks.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
I like how vague we're being about this. So that always makes me happy.
Yeah.
Partially because I think it's cool and partially because I have no idea what the fuck you do. And you've told me numerous times.
I put the secret agent stuff behind me. No badge. So I can't like text and drive anymore. I can't go through speed traps.
Damn.
Yeah. Which was funny because the other day I actually thought about that because my phone buzzed and I looked over and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I can't text and drive anymore.
You're not above the law anymore, hey?
Yeah.
All right.
So,
yeah. Well, I want to thank you for taking time out to do this. It is always a pleasure whenever our paths cross. They should cross more often. I'm kind of on your end of the city now, too. So I think we should get together and crank up the What About Vision and watch some shit.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right. We are going to go out to a band that I really, really like that put out a new album a number of months ago, and I wanted to play a song before, but I totally forgot. The band is called Off With Their Heads. I really, really like this band just because the songs kind of resonate with me. As much as it sounds kind of lame and kind of cheesy, a lot of the songs are about kind of emptiness and just not feeling quite like you wish you did and feeling like everybody can tell that you're just not quite right and that kind of thing. And that kind of resonates with me. This song is called Be Good. It's from a band called Off With Their Heads. I hope you dig it. What About Ivan? Again, thank you. I do consider you one of my closest friends. I do think you're a hell of a guy.
Thank you very much.
And I want to normalize that, like, you can tell your bro friends that you love them. So, why, Ivan, I love you, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's not gay to kiss the homies, right?
Absolutely not. Ivan, never change.
I try not to.
All right. We will. I don't know who's going to be on next week, but I'm sure I'll dig up somebody. And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.